Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. So we talked a little bit about how 29 shaped up. We've, of course, joined last segment with Miles Iblock, who's the chief investment strategist at Dynamic Funds. The fun part now is what the heck is going to happen in 2020? So what's carrying forward into 2020, and how is this going to shape up from an investment perspective? Miles, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back.
Okay, so you did a pretty good job, I think, of making some sense of what happened in 2019. Let's just open it up right now. Sort of broad, open-ended question. What can we expect? What are the broad themes that you expect to see in 2020 from an investment perspective?
So from an investment perspective, I think that, you know, when you have, let's call it some calming down in the trade situation and in terms of geopolitical uncertainty, that allows policy that has entered this, or policy stimulus that's entered the system, to work more effectively. And in fact, you know, that's interest rate cuts, and there is some larger fiscal programs being announced all over the world as well. And so that, you know, that when that uncertainty moderates, it allows that stimulus to work more effectively. And what we were seeing as we entered, you know, ended late last year and started into 2020, we saw the reaction from the economy from that stimulus. You know, we saw it in the markets earlier, but the reaction from the economy. So you started to see leading economic indicators everywhere from China, Japan, Europe, and the U.S. starting to all turn up at the same time. So what that was telling you is that this stimulus is now, and the waning uncertainty is now starting to have a positive impact on economic activity. And what that should translate into is a better tone to earnings. So before it was more, you know, about hopeful earnings, and now I think you'll see some of those better earnings come through. And when you, not saying that, you know, you can't get corrections in stock markets with improving earnings, but the point is that as earnings rise, that lifts the floor under stock prices. So that's a good thing. So corrections hopefully should become a little bit more shallow as we go forward with fundamental support. Now, obviously, we're all talking right now about the coronavirus outbreak, and that's a new sort of risk into the system. And we're only like a week, maybe 10 days into this in terms of really trying to get a better understanding about how this may impact business activity, tourism, retail spending, trade. So that's something we have to monitor right now. And, you know, there's always these types of uncertainties that linger over markets and that can cause corrections from time to time. But we will have to assess how this is impacting not only, you know, the markets themselves, but economic activity around the world.
So you mentioned coronavirus, which is one of the key risk that's out there. When you look down the list of things that could really go wrong, and I'm asking this question because I get a lot of listeners call me and say, I've read a newsletter, somebody on a show told me that there's so many things happening that can go wrong that I should, like, you know, hide my money in, you know? Mm-hmm. So we are getting that fear mongering going out there. So when you look down the list of risks that you have, what are they?
So, I mean, the first one we started off with was the viral impact on economic activity, and that's something we're still tracking. I mean, we're tracking it daily, and we are trying to manage the risks accordingly. But I think, you know, taking a step back from this, we're also focused on some what I call unfinished business with respect to trade between the U.S. and China. Like I said, the phase one deal was signed late last year, but I think there's a lot more to go between these two nations to come to some agreement. I mean, there's a lot outstanding with respect to intellectual property protection, and so, you know, that could go backwards on us, which would be not good. We also have late this year the U.S. presidential election, as we all know, and we know that, you know, there are some Democratic proposals out there that may not be as business friendly to markets as we would like, for example, with respect to areas including healthcare and energy. So I think, you know, the virus that we're living in right now, and we're monitoring that, trade and the U.S. Elections, I think those are the three big ones to keep your eyes out for.
I've got just a quick question. Sorry, do you have more questions about the risks there? I'm interested then in sort of translating this, Miles, sort of taking the risks, and we look at the different asset classes and how they're shaping up for 2020. And maybe just at a high level, you can walk us through and give us your thoughts about, you know, given the environment, the way it's setting up today, what we think equities, how they might perform in this environment, how bonds might perform in this environment. Just give us a sense of the asset class performance.
So, you know, the first thing I always say, it doesn't matter if it's 2020, 2016, or 2026, you know, it's really critical to think about a good diversification plan for a portfolio. And the simple fact is diversification is really an acknowledgement that there is uncertainty out there. So you hold different asset classes that behave differently through different economic and market conditions under the assumption that you don't know the future with certainty. So let's start off with saying that I don't care, you know, sort of what we think the risks are next year, what we have to do. What we do care about is how do we build a portfolio to be robust to different types of risks, and that's diversification. So, you know, for me, look, I think the equity market, if we get through this this first bit here with the coronavirus, I think we're setting up for a pretty good year. You know, I know we had a big year last year, but following a big year doesn't necessarily mean you're down. In fact, we looked at all years back to the 1800s when you've had a 20%+ up year in the equity market. The next year was up about 10% or 11%. So, I think we're setting up for a decent year as long as this virus thing doesn't get out of hand. So that's all I'm saying about that. I think, you know, interest rates are locked in a very low sort of a low world. There's no real inflation pressures that the central banks are worried about. So interest rates are going to stay low, I guess, for another year. So you have that to contend with. And so if you're looking for example, thinking about building a low, you know, thinking about I'd be happy with, say, low single-digit returns for my portfolio, but consistently, you know, that effectively to me, when someone says that, it means that you have a relatively low allocation to equities because most of anyone's portfolio variability comes from their exposure to equities. Not only their portfolio variability, but their big returns comes from equities. So, look, if you're looking for lowish single returns, it usually means you have a relatively low exposure to equities, say 30% to equities, 70% to fixed income. And so what might that mean? Well, in a typical year, you get like a 13% correction in the equity market. That's a typical year. 13% correction. Last year we had a 7% correction in a good year. It was still 7% correction. The year before we had a 19% correction. So typically it's about a 13% correction. If you have a 30% exposure to a 13% correction, you're looking at your portfolio to be down about, let's say, 4%. That's what you have to deal with when you have a low single-digit return kind of portfolio you've constructed. Now, if you're talking about high single-digit returns, that means you have literally more exposure to equities. So let's call that 50% exposure to equities and 50% to fixed income. So that 13% exposure means your portfolio could be down about 7%. That's something to think about if you get the typical correction. So these are the things you always got to be thinking about in terms of building a portfolio, diversification and how much exposure to equities, because equities are your primary return generators, but they're also the asset classes that give you the most variability. And I think that understanding that and setting your expectations accordingly allows you to stick to your program when these sort of unexpected events happen, like these corrections.
I think we've been spoiled, Dave, in recent years, where even though we've seen 13 or 19% volatility, it bounced back pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And so that people are like, well, I can take that volatility because it's going to bounce back. Sometimes it doesn't. Miles, in your research, you've seen that when you go down, you can go down for a while.
Absolutely. So, you know, there are corrections which happen pretty much often in the market. Let's say corrections happen often and they are uncomfortable. They typically don't last long, but yes, there are periods of time where you can get, you know, 40%+ downside in equity markets. And they're not all that uncommon either, by the way, and they can last for, you know, 12 to 18 months and put you underwater for the next several years. Perfect example, obviously, was, you know, 2007, 2008 or 2001, 2002, where you were down 50% and, you know, over those 12, 18, 24 month periods. And those are typically associated with economic recession. The ones that are, you know, extended, not only in terms of their duration, but also their deep, those tend to be associated with economic recession. We've seen that, you know, all the way back to the 70s, 60s, 50s, et cetera, 1950s. So what you're really thinking about is that, you know, if we are still a ways away from economic recession, you shouldn't be too worried about this stuff. You know, my sense right now is that recession really isn't on our doorstep at this stage. So you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to change your strategic plan too much. But absolutely, there's an acknowledgement there that equity markets, they are volatile beasts, and they can go down hard and they can go down for a long period of time. So that's just something people have to be expect. You know, I said typically in a year you're down 13%. That's like a typical sort of short-term correction that lasts a couple weeks or a few months, and then you dig your way out of it. But there are these larger scale problems that can happen from time to time in equity markets. And again, that's just part and parcel of being an equity investor.
Miles, we got to leave it there. I think you did a pretty good job of sort of taking us through what it looks like and how to position, right, to protect yourself and control the volatility through that. So I want to thank you again for joining us. We always appreciate your time.
It was my pleasure, guys. Have a great one.
All right. We've been joined by Miles Zyblock, who's a chief investment strategist at Dynamic Funds. We got to make some sense of this and put this into a long-term strategy so that people can support their lifestyles. We're going to do that.
13% swings, 19% drops, up to 40, 50% downside in the markets. And you have to be willing to handle that for years, potentially.
Yep.
In those types of volatile times, how do you profit and protect in the markets? And how do you make sure your income lasts throughout your retirement? We're going to discuss that on Tuesday, February 18th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.ca.
Okay, join us after the break. This decade, Canada retires. If you're in that group, how are you going to fund that retirement for the rest of your life? Stick around. We're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.